Happy Saturday morning.
Happy Saturday morning. This is when I say that this is the vibe of vibes.
I wanted this to be the vibe of vibes.
You did this so is what I well. This, like the movie we're watching today, this vibe is the female gaze.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is everything I've ever wanted.
I have four blankets out here. Our brunch food was just delivered. We have coffee. We have mimosas, which I will explain. I very deliberately made this a brunch film, and I will explain why.
Okay.
I wanted this to be the coziest of Saturday mornings. I guess it's almost Saturday afternoon at this point, but like, yeah.
But see, that's the thing is Saturday afternoon should be Saturday mornings.
I completely agree.
100%.
I completely agree. I actually woke up early this morning, but it was because I think I fell asleep before 10:30 for the first time in like a year last night. We're going into Thanksgiving holiday. And I was just I was so exhausted that I was like laying in bed reading, and I was like, I'm falling asleep, and it's like 10:15. You know what? I'm gonna just fall asleep.
Yep. That's definitely the vibe today. Yeah. It's very, like, I feel, so we have a week off of work for Thanksgiving, and I feel like the biggest weight has been lifted off of my shoulder.
Yes.
And I'm not even going to lie, I, like, did nothing yesterday at work.
Yep.
I was so useless.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I don't care anymore because it's break.
Uh-huh.
We have some time off.
Yep.
I don't have to think about work for a week.
Yep.
And this I'm just living it up.
This is a perfect beginning of a holiday, by the way.
It is.
We've already been hanging out for, like, an hour or so, and I don't feel like I tell you enough just how, like, rejuvenating it is to just sit and talk with you and have you look through my movies and plan what we're going to watch next. And, like,
it's so, I'm especially excited about today because, like, some of the last few movies we've done, I've had so much fun, but I've also been really tired.
Uh-huh.
But I feel super rejuvenated, and we're, like, eating brunch, we're gonna watch a movie. When we're done, we're like, let's go shopping.
Yeah, we're gonna go to Old Navy
and Target.
we're like
the whitest girls. Let's get brunch and go to Target.
Yeah, no, we're living our truth. Never let anyone say white people don't have culture. This is
mimosas in Target. Culture. That's so true. It's calling Target Tarjay.
Yeah, that's more mom culture too, but don't get me wrong, but I've done it.
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta go to Tarjay for my makeup.
Yeah. It's so, like, I feel very blessed to have a lot of friends who I've had since childhood, and I understand why we're still friends. It's so, I always feel so fortunate that I met you later in life, and I'm like, I can still find people who, like, meet me where I'm at later in life.
For sure.
And that is a gift.
Aw. But you're a gift too. Cheers to that. I'm especially glad we met because, like, I also have a lot of good friends from, I say from high school, but, like, I didn't go to high school with any of them, but we just met when we were in high school. But the problem is I love them all dearly, but none of them live close to me anymore.
Yeah.
So you get to see each other, like, a couple times a year, and it's really fun, and we catch up, and it's great, and, you know, we chat, but it's nice to have friends, too, who live close by, who you can just be like, yo, do you want to come over and watch a movie?
Yes.
And it's completely impromptu, you know? So,
yes.
That's great.
So, speaking of friends later in life, but connecting back to childhood and Saturday morning cartoon, but grown-up version vibes.
Oh, that makes so much sense. Uh-huh. Okay, I was like, why is this the vibe today? But it just clicked.
Yeah. So, we are watching George of the Jungle from 1997 today, which honestly, that is earlier than I thought it was. I was only four when this movie came out, and I definitely thought I was older, but maybe my parents waited a little bit before I watched A Shirtless Man Swinging Through the Trees.
No, I'm pretty sure I saw this in theaters. We're the same age, right?
You're like a year older than me,
you're
right?
You're 93?
I'm 93.
But you're May 93. So I'm like 6 months older than you, give or take.
Yeah. I did not see this in theaters. This is, I'm looking at your face. You look so perplexed right now at the fact that you saw this in theaters. Oh, I wonder if our recording can hear the sirens outside of my house right now.
I hope everybody's okay out there.
Me too.
I
do live pretty close to a main road, so.
Yeah. No, but I 100%, I'm like 90% sure I saw this in theaters. If not, I saw it like when it came out on VHS, like immediately. I'm just kind of shocked because I remember
there's some adult humor in this film.
Yeah, and I remember looking at him and thinking that is a beautiful man, which is weird if I was four. Maybe I rewatched it when I was older, and that's when I thought about that. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah,
I can't believe that I would have thought that then. But you know the crap. I wish I remember the TikToker's name. Their username.
The girl who does the slow zooms on herself.
Yeah,
when she's
to the
watching.
Taylor Swift. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember her name either. But shout out to you, girl, who makes the Brendan Fraser TikToks.
I'll try to find it, and maybe we can we'll either say what her name is when we come back after watching it, or we'll I'll post it on Instagram or something.
Here's what's funny. That experience of gazing at Brendan Fraser that every woman should
have. It's such a universal thing.
Yeah. I did not have it with this film when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I don't think George of the Jungle was a big thing for me. The first movie I had it with was The Mummy. That was mine. Mm-hmm. That was my Brendan Fraser is attractive and I am attracted to him moment.
Yeah.
But no, I just, when I was a kid, I just thought this movie was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that all of the jokes and slapstick were hilarious. And I'm very curious to see how it has aged. I remember my parents thinking parts of it were really funny too, though.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that it aged well.
I remember thinking the narrator's funny when they're they gazed out with awe and they all go, aww. And then he's like, no, not that kind of awe.
A-W-E. That's better.
Yeah. I remember that. And I remember thinking the gorilla with the British accent was really funny. And he wore glasses and that absolutely cracked me up when I was little.
Yes. Before I go into stats about the film, just so that you know what my memories of this are, and they might be a little bit muddled. So number one, the reason why it might be a little bit muddled is that we never owned this film growing up.
Mm-hmm.
We had it recorded from Disney Channel on a VHS tape.
Girl. We owned this movie, but I had so many that were that.
Well, but that's also part of why I think to myself, maybe I didn't get the full experience because, this was the one that, dubbed over, when the dad's like, God, that woman's a pain in the... It said, butt.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then it would be it'd be in the middle of... They would end a scene and all of a sudden it would fade to black and then it'd be I'm Raven Simone and you're watching Disney Channel.
Yeah.
Bam, 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 bam. And then you have to sit through all of
We'd fast forward through all of the commercials.
Yep.
I have
And the commercials were always just for other Disney shows.
Oh, yeah.
They never showed... Anything on Disney except for Disney stuff.
I never understood how Disney made money off of Disney Channel when
Disney
I was growing
up. Disney didn't need to make money off
of
Disney Channel.
You're right, they didn't.
Mm-hmm. And what they would do is they would just sell merchandise from the shows at the Disney store, and that's how they made money.
But you know what else they would do? They would also advertise the Disney movies that were coming to theaters.
Yes, and they would advertise the Disney parks.
Do you remember the Movie Surfers? And they'd
I loved the Movie Surfers.
They did all the behind the scenes.
Yes.
I watched so many of their little clips for Tarzan. I was really hyped for Tarzan.
They had the Movie Surfers and then they had Mike Super Short Show.
I remember that one.
And then remember they would always advertise for the Disney parks and there'd be the one with the little girl who they pack the bags and they go and she's meeting everybody.
But then she doesn't meet Mickey.
She hasn't met Mickey yet and she's sad, but then all of a sudden he shows up and she gives
I've
Mickey
been waiting my
whole life to meet you. I think about that all the time. All the time. She the phone rings and it's like, oh, and
it's
she goes,
time to get
it's
up.
Goofy.
We all know every
word of that.
The kid that's helping his little brother pack for Disney, and then he goes, "We'll be leaving in about three weeks.
Yep. Yes. Yep. That one's so good.
Oh my gosh. So I really, this just needed to be super nostalgic, and that's part of it. I also picked Brunch for this vibe, by the way, because this is the movie where I learned what a mimosa was. I was really little, and the toucan named Tuki Tuki is on the plane to go get... He's on the plane to go get to George, and this flight attendant comes up and goes, "Another mimosa, Tuki Tuki," and I remember this so vividly, because I remember being...
I don't remember that at all.
I remember asking my mom, like,
"What is
that looks good. What's a mimosa?" And she's like, no, that's a grown-up drink.
You know what, though? If I... I don't know what this says about me as a person, but if I was a mom, I'd be like, well, there's real mimosas, which are a grown-up drink, but let's make you a kid mimosa. Uh-huh. And then I would have gone out and gotten, like, sparkling Welch's grape juice.
Yep.
That would have been good,
that's
I bet.
That's cute.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
And then I would drink my mommy mimosa, mm-hmm. and then pour the little mimosa, the baby mimosa.
I grew up with parents who just, like, never drank, ever. Yeah. And it wasn't even, like, a moral thing. They just never had alcohol in the house.
We used to, because, you know, we would do things like toast in the new year or whatever. And I remember when it was 2000, when... You know, we rang in the year 2000. I went over to my friend's house, and my folks were there, and her folks were there, and she had older siblings, and, you know, all of that. And her older siblings were, the oldest one was old enough to drink. And I think he was already engaged at that point. I can't remember if he was or not, but, or he at least had a longtime girlfriend who was named Barine, and she was super awesome. And they were, so I'm really short, I'm only 4'10". And my best friend growing up is, like, now that she is an adult, she's, like, 6'1". And maybe she's, like, 5'11". Maybe she's 6 foot. She's tall, is the point. And her brother was 6'11". And her her dad was, like, 6'7". And her mom was, like, 5'11". Like, their whole family was really tall. And my whole family was really short. So it was really funny when we'd all hang out together. And then I'm getting really sidetracked with the story. But her oldest brother, John, who is such a nice person, he's the one who was 6'11". He ended up meeting this woman named Barine, who is just... I haven't seen her in years. But, like, if she's anything like what she was when I knew her... One of the best people I've ever met. Mm. But the best thing about Barine is she was only like 5'1". Mm-hmm. She married a guy who was 6'11". And so I would come over and she'd be like, "Oh my God, I'm so glad you're here. As short people got to stick together." And so we had like a kind of good rapport because of our shared experience of being hobbits in a family of ints.
Yes.
But anyways, I remember distinctly when it turned 2000, the new year, they all had champagne, but they bought us little plastic champagne flutes and Welch's grape juice. So we got to toast with everyone else and I felt very grown up.
Yeah.
And it was very fun.
That's really sweet.
Yeah. This is making me very nostalgic.
Yes. That was the whole vibe.
You did great with the vibe. This is such a vibe.
Besides brunch was just being nostalgic.
Yeah.
So speaking of nostalgic, I probably haven't watched this movie since high school, was probably the last time I saw it.
I haven't seen it since I was like younger than that.
Yeah. But I remember growing up with this movie. I remember really, really thinking it was funny, and I'm very genuinely curious to see if any of the humor in this still holds up. Just kind of like, I guess plot synopsis of the film.
Mm-hmm.
There is a baby named George raised by apes in the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
He's played by Brendan Fraser. One of the apes who raises him is an ape named Ape.
Played, I remember him.
Played by John Cleese. And
that makes sense.
Eventually a beautiful woman, I think her name is Ursula, is the love interest, played by Leslie Mann, comes into his life. Because
I remember being like, "I don't get it. That's the name of a Disney villain. And then I realized Ursula was a name prior to Mermaid.
Yep.
Which also, I think it's a really pretty name, which sucks because you could never name a kid Ursula.
Yeah.
Because the association with the Disney villain is just too strong. It's so strong
now.
Yeah.
And she is kind of engaged, kind of not to...
Right.
The antagonist, Thomas Hayden Church, and I think he
kind of... I remember him being horrible.
I think he's got, like, a Clayton thing where he wants to capture the apes and bring them back for something. Or he really wants the talking one because he wants to make a lot of money on it. Yeah, he wants
money.
But he also wants to marry Ursula, and he tries to force him to get married.
Right,
and,
right.
But George leaves the jungle and goes to the big city with her. Right. But then he has to go back and save his animal friends.
Right.
I also remember there were three poachers or guides or something in this movie who I thought were the funniest part of the whole movie. They're great in this. I hope they're still great. This is going to be a big experiment. I'm really curious what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I have no idea if this movie is going to stand up or withstand the test of time at all.
Yeah.
I will say this about this film. We kind of talked about the female gaze.
Yeah.
Debatable whether or not it exists, but if it does exist, so for our audience members who are not sure what this means, the male gaze is basically where film is catered to men's desires and experience. So, when you see a woman like emerging sexily from the water and it's like framing her, where you see like the water running off of her boobs and then it like silhouettes her from behind, so you see the hourglass shape, that's the male gaze. But also the male gaze extends to a lot of how men are framed. So like when Thor takes off his shirt and he has these rippling pectorals, and you know, in order to get the shot so that he looks that cut, they've made Chris Hemsworth like abstain from liquid and it's really toxic and he had to do a bunch of push-ups before they filmed the scene. Mm-hmm. That's the male gaze. So the female gaze is what women actually desire. Yes. In a sexual or romantic way. So the actual male gaze or actual female gaze is like Elizabeth and Darcy dancing.
I was actually gonna say from the Keira Knightley film, he helps her into a character and he's walking away and his hand flexes, mm-hmm. like the tension of him being like, oh my gosh, I just like felt something romantic there. That is kind of the peak example for me.
Well, to me, this film, and everyone cites the scene where George is playing with horses with like a white billowing shirt. And don't get me wrong, that's totally the female gaze. But you know what I would argue was actually more female gaze-y in this film?
Mm-hmm.
There is a scene where George is wearing like some sort of like floral necklace or something, and Ursula is in his treehouse, and they start dancing around like a fire together. Mm-hmm. That to me, and I can't speak for all women, but to me...
Mm-hmm.
That was the moment I fell in love with George.
I actually have a different one that I won't spoil because I know you don't remember the film very well. But I'll bring it up at the end. Okay. I think I mentioned that before, that there's another film, another scene that I think works really well for that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, gentlemen, if you are listening, and which you probably aren't, most of our listeners are probably our girlfriends.
I think like 95% of our listeners are girls who are our friends.
Yeah.
Who are very gracious.
Very supportive and put up with us. But if you are gentlemen and you are listening and you'd like to know what girls actually want, first of all, watch any Brendan Fraser movie.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah, he's the magic key.
He is. He woke up and was like, hey, I'm super hot and I drank a crap ton. He's like, I drank all 8 cups of my daily required respect women juice.
Mm-hmm.
And then I drank 2 more for good measure.
Yeah. He always has a pleasant smile on his face, even when he's in a film where he's not supposed to have a pleasant smile. He just looks like he respects women.
I love this man. I said it last week. I'll say it again. I want nothing but good things for Brendan Fraser.
Yep. We wish him all the best.
If I if I got a free pass to punch anyone in the face, the person who abused Brendan Fraser is really high at the top of my list.
That's a good pick.
It's a really good pick.
Yeah.
Like, screw that guy for a lot of reasons, because that's super wrong in any regard, and no one should ever have to experience that. Mm-hmm. But someone as wholesome as Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
Like, ugh. But I want to just give him a big hug and let him know how much every child of the 90s adores everything about him.
So much love.
Thank you for my childhood.
Well, speaking of that, and how this has aged,
okay,
and how we have aged, not the lowest rated score we've ever had, but critic tomato meter is 56% for this film.
Okay.
But audience score is 41%.
What?
And here's what I think. I think that at least some of the critics knew what they were getting into when they went into this.
Because isn't it kind of satirical of the old cartoon? It doesn't take itself very seriously.
This film doesn't take itself seriously at all.
And it kind of pokes fun at the old cartoon itself.
A little bit, yes.
And critics love things that reference,
yeah,
you know, or Hollywood or whatever.
I think some parents probably had to watch this so many times
that they hate it.
Yeah. But I don't know that for sure. Again, it may age terribly, but fingers I'm really crossed. Genuinely curious to see how this viewing experience goes. Fingers it's a short crossed. Film, so we will not be gone long.
Okay.
But I'm really excited to continue our morning brunch. I guess you've already seen it, but so I'm not going to ask what you predict is going to be in the movie, mm-hmm. but what do you predict about your experience watching it again?
I'll tell you what I'm worried about.
Uh-huh.
So the film is set in Africa,
mm.
and it's the 90s. I'm worried there's going to be a few things that as a modern audience, I'm like, ooh, that's not aged well. Uh-huh. I'm hoping for the best.
Yeah.
I'm preparing myself for the worst.
Right.
I'm expecting to catch a lot of jokes that I didn't get as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm expecting to spend most of the film distracted by all things Brendan Fraser.
Yes. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, this is going to be very fun, I hope.
Let's do it.
I really, really hope.
I think it's gonna be fun. I'm expecting the best.
All right.
Without further ado. George of the Jungle. Here we go. That aged so much better than expected.
I enjoyed that a lot more than I expected, me to be too. Perfectly honest.
Me too.
What
am I supposed to do now?
Let's talk about what didn't work.
Okay. There are a few things. The sound editing is crap.
It's bad.
It's really bad.
It's really bad.
There are times where there are lines being spoken and nobody's mouth is moving. And the editing's kind of wacky, too. Like,
it's weird.
They, like, jump around and you're like, wait, I thought George was wearing a coat. Now he's not. And now he is again. And there's, like, little mistakes like that throughout the film. Also, I hate the Lion King reference at the end.
Yeah.
That's it for me. That's the list.
I think I could have done with one less 90s gross-out humor joke.
That's true.
I think... Because they just kept repeating.
Like, yeah, it wasn't good, but I will say this. I kind of give it a pass because it's the 90s.
I gave it a pass because when I was a kid, I was like, it's so funny.
But... Yeah. It's not good, but it's so typical for films of this time. Made for any audience below the age of 13.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of just accept it for what it is.
Yeah. Give it a pass.
Yeah.
So.
That's it.
What worked better than you anticipated?
Okay. So. Part of me was worried. Because sometimes. Okay, well, let's talk about this. This is kind of in a I didn't like section, but this film is generically African. And what I mean by that
is... Yeah, we talked about this. Yeah.
Right. Like, Africa is a continent with many different countries, with many different diverse cultures, and many different types of ecosystems.
Yes.
This is the jungle.
Yeah.
It's in a mountainous region of Africa. And frankly, I don't know my geography well enough to know what part of Africa would be the mountainous region.
Not the region where people speak Swahili and where there are lions and elephants.
So the fact that there are lions and elephants... Because there are elephants that live in the jungle, but those are Asian elephants, not African elephants. African elephants, zebras, and lions, and giraffes all live in the savannah, as far as I know.
Yes.
But they wanted to make sure everyone knew this was in Africa, so they have all of those animals present. Despite the fact that none of them live.
Yeah, it's very, you know, childhood generic jungle.
Right. The gorillas are the only ones that are at all reasonable for a jungle ecosystem.
I can't speak to the birds and the monkeys, but...
That's fair.
Bless you. Thank you. Yeah, I will say, though, other than that, you were talking at the beginning how you were worried it was going to age poorly in terms of, like, you know, I was more worried about it aging poorly in terms of, like, the guides who help her.
Right.
And it was actually the opposite of that.
Yeah. And, well, I think part of it is, like, the reason I brought up the whole thing about it being generically African is that in and of itself is a little offensive. It's offensive, right? Because... Mm-hmm. Like, that's part of the thing, too, is it's, like, you know, when you see, what is the word I'm thinking of? When you see, like, advertisements that are, like, there are starving children in Africa. For just $5 a day, you can feed a whole African family, you know? And it's, like, where are these children, you know? And it's, like, people are, like, oh, that's all of Africa. Like, if you like, were to film an area of the United States with, you know, that suffers from poverty and stuff, like, you know, you would never go, that's the only area in the United States. But that's something that very much happens with the whole continent of Africa. Like, there aren't major cities and, you know, it's all just, like, Hollywood would have you believe that it's just, like, starving children and small villages and animals and that's it. Mm-hmm. So that is a little silly, but, and I think you were kind of getting to this, I was worried that would extend to the guides and the actual African characters, but it really didn't.
Yeah. It really makes fun of that perception.
Yeah.
Especially through the crappy fiancé.
Yeah.
Because Ursula's, like, treating them like people, and then he comes in and just assumes that they don't know how his camera works.
That part's so funny. It's hilarious. Like, takes a Polaroid of them and calls it, like...
Magic picture.
And then the one of the tour guides pulls out, like, this, like, Nike Canon Pro. It's, like, this really expensive, fancy camera.
And he's like, I also have the equipment to clean your lens for you.
Yeah, he makes fun of Lyle's lens on his Polaroid. Like, that's so good.
Yeah.
So yeah, this movie does a decent job of, like, criticizing that, like, kind of colonizer perspective where Africa is assumed to be this, like, backwater, you know, place. But, you know, like, George gets Air Jordans in a little village in Africa, and he went to, which is such a good 90s touch. I love that so much.
That's one of many of the most 90s things that happened in this movie.
My other favorite 90s, really 90s moment was when Ursula is about to be attacked by a lion and George saves her. And then Lyle, the crappy fiancé, realizes she's gone. He's like, oh no, it's Ursula's scrunchie. And, like, he finds it on the ground. And it was like, oh no, the scrunchie.
The scrunchies that have come back in full force.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think the treatment of, like, some of the characters is really good. The villains are really good and understandable. Like, they're recognizable as, yes, like, you know, crappy rich people who think that they own the world. Lizzie, what am I supposed to do now? Brendan Fraser, in this movie in particular, is the most charming.
Yep.
I'm, like, in love all over again.
Oh, yeah. We kept looking at each other at certain points in this film, like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Every face he makes.
He's always smiling and happy and pleasant and warm.
The way he, like, caresses Ursula's hair when she sleeps and looks at her so tenderly. The way he kisses her so gently.
Mm-hmm.
When they dance around the fire.
Yep.
When he helps the little monkey.
Oh, yeah. That was... Okay, so when earlier we were talking about, there's a scene that I was like, no, this is the moment. Yeah, it's when he's listening to a little monkey talk about its monkey problems. And then he helps it.
The monkey's getting bullied by other monkeys, and it helps the monkey look cool by enlisting the lion friend to...
Who wasn't a friend earlier. Like, yeah, it was a bad guy, but now they're bros, I guess. I don't know.
They, like, had a big fight and, like, worked it out.
I didn't even care.
I don't care either. His dog is an elephant. His treehouse is perfect. Great, yep, interior design, which is probably more of Ape's input than George's.
I love movies with a great treehouse.
Yes.
I'm convinced that the reason why I rewatched the live action Swiss Family Robinson so much as a kid
is the treehouse.
Was the treehouse.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it was so good.
But I just...
Yeah, we're in love. There was a... In every way. In everything he wears. Always attractive. He puts on a dress and we're like, still wouldn't say no.
I actually thought he was really cute in the dress. He's got, like, the 90s straw hat and a cardigan with the little floral dress, and I was kind of here for it.
There were some lines in this movie that I had forgotten, including, like, when he puts on the dress, the narrator comes over and is like, due to her generally conservative adherence to gender norms, she decided to take George out to buy clothes. And then I also lost it. You were talking about the scene when they dance together, and it ends with the narrator going, and so it came to pass,
right,
that George of the Jungle attended his first co-ed dance.
It's so good.
There were so many moments that...
The narrator's funny.
The narrator's really... Were you fighting with the narrator? That was really funny.
It's so good. Honestly, like... I think this movie has aged surprisingly well.
It is still the definition of corny and...
It's campy.
And slapsticky and campy.
But that's the thing, is it's, like, intentional camp. It knows exactly what it's doing. It's not trying to be serious.
No.
But it just gets some things so right.
Yeah. And that, I think that all comes back to Brendan Fraser. If you had cast anyone else in this, I don't think it would have worked. It would not have worked.
He exudes charm in a way that I don't think any other actor does. And, like, you know, we're going to watch The Mummy soon, and we'll talk about this more. But in The Mummy, I think any other actor could have made Rick O'Connell come across as a total jerk.
He could have been very sexist and condescending.
And yet, Rick O'Connell comes across as someone who is snarky but drank his respect women juice.
Yes. He is the anti Indiana Jones in that regard.
Yes.
Like you put a Harrison Ford in one of these roles and it's like still very handsome, mm-hmm, very appealing, very masculine, but doesn't have that
Je ne sais quoi. You might have a good time with Indiana Jones, but you would not marry Indiana Jones.
No, you'd marry the crap out of George to the Jungle and Rick O'Connell.
And literally any character he's ever played, I would gladly spend the rest of my life with,
yes,
all of his characters.
Yep.
And I just am so taken by him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, this movie shouldn't be good.
Nope.
It shouldn't be good. It should be the dumbest Disney cash grab ever. And yet, I love it.
Yep.
I I think that Brendan Fraser has more charm than almost any actor I've ever seen in my life. Period. Yep. Hard stop.
Yep. We are both sitting here like the girls watching him in the field with the horses.
It's true.
Just,
I don't know what to do with myself now.
Yeah.
I guess we gotta go to Target and try to fill the void.
I guess we're gonna go shopping and try and fill
the Brendan Fraser shaped hole in my heart. That maybe the just Target the dollar section at Target can fill.
Or whenever we sit down and watch The Mummy.
That'll just make the hole bigger.
Yeah.
Dude, so he's in that new movie. I don't even know what it's about. I don't know what it's called. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure Chris Evans is in it.
Yeah.
Whoever thought it was a good idea to put Chris Evans and Brendan Fraser in the same film together, I'm going to die.
What if they both wear sweaters?
I'm going to If they both wear sweaters, I'm absolutely going to die. I am going to die. I cannot handle that much cute in one film.
He wore a black turtleneck in this movie, and I was like, what?
Every outfit he wears in this movie.
He's in a tank top at one point. I turned to you, and I went, oh, no. God.
He's, like, playing the bongos in a tank top, and I'm, like, over here crying.
George, get coffee. Then Ursula, what George?
And he's so right. This movie, even though it's directed by a man, this movie understands women better than almost any film I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Part of me wonders if they were able to accomplish that because it was made for kids with little like inside jokes to adults. And there were a couple here that I didn't get before.
There were definitely a few where I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. Like there were some references, subtle nods to genitalia that I completely missed as a child that I definitely got now. But, man.
Yeah, all the scenes with the best friend, I'm like, those recontextualize a lot of things.
I should not feel this way after a crappy cartoon live action remake from Disney.
A PG live action 90s Disney movie.
I should not feel this way.
But again, I think they've got a couple of these. We were talking before this about the reason why we started this was that Liv showed me Man in the Iron Mask, and I in turn tried to show her the 93 Disney Three Musketeers. Mm-hmm. But we were sleepy and tired and didn't quite get through that one. But yeah, that's
I was not in the right headspace to watch that.
That's another campy 90s Disney live action movie that is absolutely banging.
Yeah, so, I think the difference is that, I will say this though. Like, that movie stars, who's it got in it? Charlie Sheen,
Kiefer Sutherland. Those are the two big ones.
And then there's other guys.
Oh, and Tim Curry.
That's right. Tim Curry's in it. But even Tim Curry has, like, the dumb, like, cardinal outfit. And
it's so good.
It's good, but it's not. Like, when I see Tim Curry in, like, Rocky Horror Picture Show or Muppet Treasure Island or, and God, I hate to say it, but even when he's the, like, oil monster, the smoke monster in Ferngully.
Yeah.
All of those, I'm like, yes, Tim Curry. But for some reason, as soon as he puts on, like, the cardinal outfit, I'm like, it's too religious.
We'll watch it.
Yeah.
We'll watch it, and I will give my two cents there.
Okay. But there's no one in that movie that makes my heart pitter-patter the way that Brendan Fraser does.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Yeah. Totally different.
And if anyone besides Brendan Fraser was in this movie, I think I'd be like, this movie's okay.
Yes, I completely agree.
It's not terrible. It's got some funny moments.
I completely agree.
The camp. But I just am so in love with this man, it's not even funny.
If you haven't watched it in a while, if you watched it as a kid, haven't watched it in a while, 10 out of 10 recommend.
If you've got Disney Plus, it's on there, so you don't even have to rent it or anything. It's just there.
I give this film
You know what else I like about Brendan Fraser and the way that he is framed? This is a man who clearly works out, right?
Uh-huh.
He's got muscles. But he's not buff.
I'm not intimidated by them.
No. His muscles are attractive. That's the thing, is there's this idea that men need to be like in Hollywood at least, there's this idea that men need to be cut to be attractive.
It's the Dwayne The Rock Johnson mentality. Like, the more right. you have, the better. And don't get me wrong, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is attractive in for very different reasons.
But that's the thing, is yes, I'm attracted to Dwayne The Rock Johnson. But not nearly
to the same extent.
You know the moment when I was, like, the most head over heels in love with Dwayne The Rock Johnson? It was an interview about Moana, and he was talking about why he was so honored to play Maui.
Yeah.
And he showed a picture of his grandfather, and he was talking, and he was being really sentimental. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, no. I think I'm in love. You know? But, like, in any movie where he, like, has his shirt off, I'm like, yeah, he's attractive, but he's not... I don't want to take him home. You know what I'm saying? Chris Evans... you know, with his shirt off is attractive, but it's when he puts on a sweater that I'm like, I want to take him home.
Mm-hmm.
Or when he posts pictures on his Instagram with his dog that I'm like, I want to take him home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or in Captain America when he's drawing and doing art, then I want to take him home. You know, in yep. Thor, you know, is he attractive when his shirt's off? Did I kind of go, oh, yes. Do I want to take Chris Hemsworth home in that moment?
No.
Not exactly. But when he's, like, bundled up and stargazing in the first movie with Jane, then I want to take him home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he's, like, honestly, when Thor gets dad bod.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Like, I don't know why that did it for me, but I thought he was so cute.
Yep.
And I just want to sit on the couch with him and watch a movie and drink beer. Anyways, the point here is that Brendan Fraser in this film looks like a believable person. Like, he looks like a man that actually exists in the real world and not some, like, massive, svelte bodybuilder.
Yep.
He looks like he got his muscles from climbing trees.
Yep.
And it works. Gosh darn it, Hollywood.
I'm that girl at the fence going, oh my God.
Yeah. And now he's older and wears sweaters and baseball caps, and it still works.
Yep.
Still works.
I'm really happy we have one more week of this.
Me too.
It probably...
we'll be sad when it's done.
Yeah. Schedule-wise, I don't know if we'll have an episode out next Saturday or the Saturday after that. We will.
Yeah, we'll probably take a quick break for... Thanksgiving this week. And then I guess we'll do The Mummy, and then we might do like a little short Christmas thing, because there's yes. not a ton of stuff before
Christmas.
No, but
there's some more Christmas royalty that needs to be shared.
That's true.
And swapped.
You know what? We were having this discussion about Christmas week.
Uh-huh.
Where I was like, have you seen this movie? Have you seen this movie? And you were like, yes, yes, yes. And then you had movies that I hadn't seen. So maybe for Christmas, you should just show me your two movies,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll watch the one we discussed,
beautiful.
And it'll just be like a three-week, I say unit, three-week. Oh, no. Okay. A three-week session plan. I can't think of a better word than that. You get the point.
Festivities.
Festimus.
Festivus.
Yeah.
Erect the pole.
All right. So you were about to give a rating for this movie before I went on my, like, rant.
I give this movie 9 crocodile toothache teeth out of 10.
Oh.
Because, again, female gaze. She's like, did you fight a crocodile for this tooth? And he goes, oh, no, crocodile had toothache. George pulled tooth. He give afterward for thank you.
I give this movie 1 out of 1 cereal box good luck ring
yeah.
that Ursula gives to George.
Yeah.
When she put that on his necklace, I was
like...
Oh,
we both lost it.
Oh, God.
We both
This movie shouldn't work, but it's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ladies.
Great film.
Enjoy.
Great film. 10 out of 10. Would recommend.
Speaking of things that ladies enjoy, next week...
I honestly am almost nervous about next week because it's one of my favorite movies ever.
Same.
And I feel like we have to contain it I feel like I'm either not going to have enough to say because I'm going to be like, mwah, perfect film, end of discussion. Or I'm going to go on like this gushing rant about how it's one of the best movies ever made.
Here's my TED Talk.
And it's going to be like a 5-hour episode.
Yeah.
Which neither of those things can happen. That would both be bad.
Yep. We're going to need to actually script things.
We might have to.
Yeah.
We might have to write some stuff down. We'll make a list. I'm also nervous that next week's episode is just going to turn into me quoting the film.
Yep. Yep.
So.
Oh.
Next week's episode.
We'll watch The Mummy.
The Mummy.
A perfect film.
A genuinely perfect film. I love that movie so much.
Yep.
I'm a little, like I said, I'm nervous that next week's episode is not going to be good because it's just going to be me being like, hey, O'Connell. Guess who has all the horses?
Hey, Benny!
Guess who's on the wrong side of the river? I don't know why that line makes me laugh so hard every time.
I don't know anyone who doesn't think that's funny.
It's so good.
Yep.
Oh my god.
All right, friends. Well, thank you for joining us on this nostalgic romp.
That was so fun.
And we shall have another one next week.
One more week of Brendan Fraser week.
Yeah.
Every week should be Brendan Fraser week.
We're just going to change the title of the podcast. Talking Brendan Fraser.
Yep.
All right.
Well, thanks for coming along on this ride through the jungle with us.
Yep.
It's been super real.
Oh, God bless, guys. And God bless Brendan Fraser.
God bless Brendan Fraser.